Climbing Mount Everest is an unbelievable accomplishment. One of the interests that I have in life is to watch documentaries on people that have tried to climb Everest. And it's always very, very interesting to me how that they have these Sherpas, these guys that live over in Nepal, and man, they can scale up that mountain like nothing, but they do all kinds of training and have a holding camp down there, and then they get to a certain height and a certain level, and they have to have oxygen, and from that point, they're timed. That oxygen's going to run out. And if they don't get up to the mount in time, they're in deep, deep trouble. Most people, not most people that try it, but most people that die, die on the way up. But on May 22nd, 2019, ABC News reported out of Salt Lake City that Donald Lynn Cash, 55 years old, fell at the top of the summit. He was brought down below what they call the Hillary Step, and he breathed his last breath down at the Hillary Step. The truth is, coming off the mountaintops of life are dangerous seasons of life. Coming off the mountaintops. I wish I could title the message tonight, Living Life on the Mountaintop All the Time. But my notes tell me differently. The title reads this way, The Mountaintop, dot, 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 and then the valley. Or maybe a better title is Coming Off the Mountaintop. Or maybe another title would be Between the Two Mountains, the valley. For every high, there's an equal and opposite low in life. Elijah had the mountaintop of Carmel, and he had the valley under the juniper tree. Peter had the mountaintop of the Mount of Transfiguration. But boy, did Peter have a valley experience around the fire when he denied Christ. All of us like the mountains. It's a lot more fun to be on the mountaintop, to have those mountaintop experiences with the Lord, but we are not able to remain on the mountain all the time. Where there are mountains in life, there are valleys in life. Life is a series of mountains and valleys. Each day brings about different experiences. Some days are full with struggle and some are plentiful with joy. I think of Aaron just having the baby recently and those days of travail leading up to the baby. Am I going to get through this? And then that baby being delivered in the mountaintop, one of the mountaintops of life, your baby in your hands. Like this, isn't it? And it's like this for all of us. Life has mountains and life has valleys. Just as the earth isn't just a globe of flat land, life has its ups and downs too. The valleys in life could be receiving bad news from a doctor, not having enough money to pay the next bill, a broken down vehicle, someone not pleased with us, hearing of a Christian that has fallen, and really the list is too numerous to name all the different valleys that we face. Proposition tonight for the message is mountaintop experiences are followed by valley experiences in our lives. You say, preacher, are you trying to bring valleys into our church? No, I'm not. I'm really not. I just know we've been living on the mountaintop for some time in some ways. And I don't want any of us to get too unrealistic about life. Because life is full of mountaintops and valleys. Paul and Barnabas in our text, Acts chapter 14, were on their first missionary journey. And God was doing some wonderful things. And there were some mountaintops. If you look back at verse number 21, the Bible says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many. Man, anytime you're preaching and teaching many, it is exciting times. And Paul was preaching and teaching to many. Not only were they preaching and teaching, but they were confirming the souls of the disciples in verse number 22. Man, believers were being strengthened. They were learning what growth steps to take. They were getting assurance of their salvation. They were exhorting. They were coming alongside of believers and encouraging them to continue in the faith in verse number 22. They were ordaining pastors in the churches. Isn't that a thrilling time this fall? I think it's in November. We are planning to ordain Brother Henricks as a pastor here. And that'll be an exciting time in his life and in his ministry. These things are happening in the first missionary journey. They commended those, after prayer and fasting, they commended those pastors to the Lord in those churches and moved on and helped another church. It says in verse number 25, when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia. And after all of that going on, they sailed home, back to where they were sent from, in Antioch. They went back and they talked about the work that God had done. Oh, a little taste of what we've been experiencing all summer with Stephanie and Abby and Esther tonight and Todd Keith next week and the teen missions trip report. Man, we're just hearing all kinds of things that God is doing, and that is exciting. Praise God for preaching and teaching and for the confirmation of souls and disciples and the privilege to follow up with believers and exhort them to continue in the faith. And pastors were being ordained and more preaching in Perga. It sounds like Paul and Barnabas were on a roll. It looks like the showers of blessings are just pouring out upon them and whatever they put their hands to. Times of rejoicing. Sounds like Mount Zion in many ways. Began our spring with revival services with Brother Samples. I don't know if you remember back that far. It was only about 4 or 5 months ago. And it was a sweet time around the Word of God. We had soul winning training. Some of you took the soul winning training. I think 35 of you took the soul winning training with Brother Gilmore here and went out, put that into practice. We saw some souls saved from that. I've seen some souls saved from witnessing. Camp brought about confirming of souls of Christian young people, exhorting them to continue in the faith. And four young people received Christ that week. We just baptized one that we didn't even know got saved that week. Today, over 50 decisions that were made. VBS rolls around the corner and 21 are saved during VBS, the breakout day on Friday. 14 praying all over this property to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Great attendance at the closing program. The same day that VBS is happening, we're doing a funeral for Jim Moritz, and four people profess Christ at Jim Moritz's funeral. Stephanie and Abby returned from Ecuador with reports of three getting saved and good churches growing there. And Todd Keith is over in Ghana taking advantage of all kinds of ministry opportunities, from preaching on the radio and ministering in churches and teaching the Word of God. And we're going to hear a more thorough report from him next week, and all kinds of personal growth and influence through his life. Teen missions trip takes off last Saturday, and 12 people pray to receive Christ out there. And back to school happens on Friday, and 86 young people are here, and 31 new families, and one prays and receives Christ, and blessings. Blessings. Can it get any better? Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to rehearse all that God has done. But look with me, if you will, at Acts 15. Acts 14, verses 21 through 27. Mountaintop! Praise God for mountaintops. Acts 15 and verse number 1. Valley. And certain men which came down from Judea down to Antioch taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. What's interesting here is chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas come back to Antioch and they rehearse with the church how God opened the door unto the Gentiles. Woo! Gentiles getting saved all over the place. And in their own church they come back and certain men are come in and they're telling the Gentiles, unless you get circumcised, you can't be saved. Can you imagine Paul and Barnabas? Wait, we just testified of Gentiles getting saved, and they weren't circumcised. And now you're telling us that they have to be circumcised to be saved? That's Acts 15, verse number 1. Verse number 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, come back to my home church and just kind of settle in and enjoy the fellowship of the believers and just kind of rest and rejoice and rehearse in what God's done. And all of a sudden, they're in a big time battle. and dissension and disputes are taking place. And you talk about pouring cold water on their fire. Let me tell you, Acts 15 poured cold water on Paul and Barnabas. When no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Paul and Barnabas, you need to go on another trip. Man, we've been traveling. We've been traveling all over. We've been giving our lives. We've been preaching. We've been going from city to city. We've been busy confirming disciples, preaching and teaching many, ordaining elders in every city. We'd just like to rest a little bit. And now there's a big problem in the church in Antioch. And Paul and Barnabas, we need you to go up to Jerusalem, talk to the apostles and elders about it. Verse number 3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phenice and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. And then they went on to declare, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch with their church in a crisis. After mountaintop, after mountaintop. Now their church is in a crisis. They didn't create this. It wasn't their doing. They returned, and this was the circumstances that they returned to. Trouble, confusion, division, disputes, uncertainty, strained relationships, offenses, instability. They were immediately thrust into the valley. What a mess. I think it is helpful to understand in the valley that Paul and Barnabas initially kept their eyes on the conversion of the Gentiles. Even when they're traveling to Jerusalem, on the way, they're stopping at churches. They haven't lost any confidence that Gentiles got saved. Man, let me tell you about the Gentiles. When they get to Jerusalem, what are they talking about? They're talking about the Gentiles. When they came back to Antioch, what are they talking about? God opened the door unto the Gentiles. It is easy, my friend, to get in the valley and forget what we praise God for on the mountaintop. That's an easy place to get. Disputes are great valleys. I don't know about you. I am not a disputer. I don't like getting in an argument. I don't like a tension between me and somebody else. I'm not built that way. I know there are some people that love it. I don't love it. And Paul and Barnabas were in a great dispute. The Bible says no small dissension. No small dispute. In fact, in verse number 7, as they're in this dispute, that not only, watch this, it was taking place in Antioch. Now it is overflowing over the brim and now has entered into the church at Jerusalem in verse number 7. Now they're meeting at Jerusalem with the apostles and the elders, the pastors, and the Bible says in verse number 7, and when there had been much disputing. Wait, that was happening in Antioch before they were sent away. Now it's happening in the church at Jerusalem. Oh my word. What in the world is going on? Peter here declares how God opened the door to the Gentiles through him. Paul and Barnabas again declare in verse number 12, now at this church at Jerusalem, that what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles. And James, the pastor of the church, makes the decision about it all in Acts 15, and he resolves the conflict, and he nails down right doctrine, and thankfully they push through that valley. But you have to think about how that affected the church back home. In fact, Jerusalem knew that it was going to affect the church at home because it was such a strong influence that they sent prophets and leaders from Jerusalem back to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas with a letter in hand from Jerusalem to authenticate, to validate, to give authority to the decision that was made so that the church at Antioch would not remain confused. And we read in this passage that eventually those believers, those Gentile believers in Antioch rejoiced at the comfort that they didn't have to be circumcised to be saved. And they make it through that. But then we get to verse 36. Maybe some things have settled down in the church. Paul's getting the itch again to go out. Second missionary journey. Pulls Barnabas aside. Barnabas, let's go, man. It's time to go and visit these churches. It's time to help these believers that we saw saved and these pastors. And that's happening in verse number 36. Let us go again, visit our brethren in every city who have preached the word of God, see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Question, is this a doctrinal issue? No. It's an opinion issue that two men are pretty strong on. In fact, the Bible uses the term of Barnabas that he was determined. Paul, on the other hand, I don't think this is a good idea. Well, I wonder how all this is going to roll out. Man, these guys have been preaching together. These guys have been teaching together. These guys have been locked arm in arm in battle over the gospel. They have gone to Jerusalem. They have testified together of the Gentiles. Certainly, they'll get through this valley, won't they, preacher? They'll put it all back together. Not so quick. The Bible says in verse number 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now there's a rift, another valley. Valley that probably neither one of them could ever see coming. Strong disagreement. And departure. Though God worked through this situation, it is never God's plan for believers in a local church to depart asunder one from another. The Bible says the contention was so sharp and seemingly unresolvable that they decided to depart from each other. Wonder how the church felt about that. I wonder what the talk of the church was on this front. They had just been through a time of uncertainty. They had just been through a time of instability. They had just been through a time of division, dissension, arguments, sending people up to the other church, Gentiles feeling insecure and confused about their salvation. And we just get that resolved. And now word gets out, oh, Paul and Barnabas are going like this. Huh. I wonder who's on Paul's side. I wonder who's on Barnabas' side. I wonder who felt sorry for John Mark. Just trying to put myself in the valley with them tonight. But wasn't there a mountaintop somewhere? Where was that mountaintop? I mean the time when we had peace. I mean the time when there was joy and praise and the works of God and lives touched and people saved. Those words, at one point in time, for Paul and Barnabas' mental whiteboard, were written all over the whiteboard. But it seemed like somebody just came and took an eraser and whoosh, 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 whoosh. Brother Mark loves to teach with a whiteboard. He comes early on Sunday mornings and writes out all of his points on the whiteboard. Takes a long time to do that, doesn't it, Brother Mark? Takes some time. How long does it take it to erase it? Not very long. Do you know that valleys don't take very long to erase the mental whiteboard of praise and joy and peace and the mountaintop experiences? Could I ask you, dear Christian, tonight, how's your mental whiteboard right now? Does it have heartache on it? Does it have fear on it? Does it have anger on it? Does it have confusion written across your mental whiteboard? Does it have feeling unstable, uncertain, desperate, difficult decisions that are on your whiteboard? I don't know about your life, but I know how my life works. whiteboard of mountaintop. Full praise, rejoicing. But boy, that can get erased quick. Boy, that whiteboard in our minds can be filled with all kinds of things like that. I'm trying to put myself in the picture of seat of Paul and Barnabas tonight. Paul's sitting at home. They just had the talk. Strong disagreement left unresolved. Wonder how it's going to work out. Wonder if Barnabas is going to be my partner. If Barnabas isn't my partner, who's going to be my partner? Wonder if we ever even get another missions trip off the ground. Huh? The old whiteboard, things are changing quickly. Dear Christian, what happened in Paul and Barnabas' life happens in your life and my life. The mental whiteboards of life change quickly. Valleys are like big erasers. In your valley, maybe you haven't faced a valley, maybe you're on the mountaintop tonight, thank God and enjoy it. Keep the whiteboard full of praise and rejoicing and joy and peace and thanksgiving and all of those things. But no, it won't last forever. When the valley comes, renew your mental whiteboard with the works of God. Don't allow the valley to erase everything that God has done. Remember, God is still God in the valley. Paul had to remember, he didn't bring any of these circumstances. He didn't choose any of these things. These things were brought into his life. God had control of all of that. God is still God. In the valley, you need to remember that God's still God. Number two, in the valley, you need to continue in your faith, in your church, and in your spiritual work. Look at Acts 15, if you would, verse number 35. How do you like to bend through that mess at Antioch? Let me tell you about the Gentile believers that got saved. Well, Paul, they really didn't get saved because they haven't been circumcised. Church I want to be a part of anymore. Paul and Barnabas, you go up because I think you need corrected with the church up at Jerusalem, by the church at Jerusalem. And they come back after that whole mess. And they continued at Antioch. That's an amazing statement to me. In the valley, you need to continue. You need to continue in your faith. You need to continue in your church. You need to continue in your spiritual work that you're doing for God. You need to continue. Paul and Barnabas continued. Thirdly, God is still God. Continue in your faith, in your church, and in your spiritual work. Thirdly, beware of your decision and determination and how they might affect others. Beware. It is my belief that Barnabas became emotional in this conversation. And I believe the reason the Bible uses the word determined is Barnabas was looking at a relative, John Mark. John Mark was not cut out for the team first time around. Paul remembered that. Barnabas came up with the idea, let's take John Mark. Paul said, don't think it's a good idea. And Barnabas planted his feet and determined to take John Mark. I'm reminded that when I'm emotional, I tend to plant my feet stronger and become more determined about things. And that's not always a good thing. Not always a good thing. I don't believe anybody in the church, if Paul, his closest buddy, couldn't convince Barnabas otherwise, I don't believe anybody was going to change Barnabas's mind. And I believe they parted. And I believe that it was a mistake by Barnabas, because the Bible says that they recommended Paul and Silas, the church did. We don't hear that about Barnabas and John Mark. That's a silent, mute issue there. Remember to be aware of your decisions and determination and how they might affect others in your valley. It's important. Churches sometimes have meetings where people get emotional. Boy, does it do a lot of damage in a short amount of time when those things happen. We've got to guard ourselves. We've got to guard our hearts. We've got to guard our emotions. Remember those over you, for they watch for your souls in the valley. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Thankfully, Paul and Barnabas came back. Thankfully, they got things straightened out in the church. The doctrine was straightened out and things seemed to have settled down. Thank the Lord that there was leadership in place. When James made the call as the pastor of Jerusalem, James made the right call. And sometimes we don't understand all the calls that leadership makes. And that's okay. But they're still in leadership. And sometimes we have to trust God. Young people with your parents, that's important. It's important that you have a trust. It's important. You're not going to understand every yes and every no and every boundary in life. College student, you're not going to understand everything in the setting in which you're in and the leaders that make decisions. But understand there's people that watch for your souls in those contexts. Remember that. Remember that. Remember the aim of the enemy is to take you off course from declaring what God has done and doing. And be cautious as to who you listen to. In verse 24, those certain men that came in troubled and subverted the souls, the Bible says. Tipped them upside down because they got the ear of the people. Be cautious as to who you listen to. Here are some simple, practical lessons for the valley. Mountaintops, preacher, I'm on the mountaintop. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for mountaintops. If you're living on the mountaintop tonight, great. If you're seeing a valley or you've been thrust into a valley, that's not abnormal. That is normal for life. But what we do and how we respond in the valley is very critical. Remember, coming off the mountaintop can be dangerous. We must know how to respond in the valley.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.